Welcome to Cultimatum, the podcast uncovering the dark realities of cults and human trafficking. I'm your host, Anonymous Andrew, and each week we dive deep into the manipulation, control, and courageous escapes that define these worlds.
And I'm Melody, Andrew's co-host. Having experienced the depth of a cult firsthand, specifically the House of Yahweh, I am here as an advocate for fellow survivors.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests are their own and do not reflect the official policy or position of Cultimatum or its affiliates. The content discussed on this podcast are based on personal experiences and should not be construed as factual or legal advice. Neither the host nor the guest are liable for any statements made during the episodes. Listeners are encouraged to conduct their own research and seek professional advice where appropriate.
And before we dive into today's episode, we want to issue a trigger warning. Some episodes may cover explicit and potentially disturbing subjects such as sexual abuse, rape, human trafficking, suicide, and other sensitive subjects. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome to the Cultimatum Podcast, the culture of cults and human trafficking. And my name is Anonymous Andrew. And with me today is my co-host, Melody. Hi, Melody.
Hi, Andrew. We have got a treat today. We have got a married couple that are on together, Nathan and Amber, who are ex-Jehovah's Witnesses, and they are here to share their story with us. Welcome to the show, Nathan and Amber.
Hi there. Nice to be here.
Hi. Thank you.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you for joining us. Okay, where would you like to start?
I don't know, maybe how we came into the faith, I guess, or into that religion.
Well, I'll ask you right off the bat. So you're married. Did you meet in JW?
We did. We met in traffic on the way to a JW convention, because that's just how smooth he is.
In traffic? Wow, okay.
I'm good.
He left a note on my car afterwards, and, you know, 21 years later, here we are.
Wow.
Wow, that's awesome.
I'll have to try that one day.
Yeah, right?
I was running late, and I was trying to get over, but none of the Jehovah's Witnesses would let me, you know, get over into the line that was going into the, this was in West Palm Beach, Florida, and it's called a leaky teepee. That's how we refer to it as, but. Anyways, nobody let me in, so I just stopped at her car and was waving my Bible at her, like, hey, will you let me in? I'm going to the same place you are. You know, and then she just let me in, and then I put a thank you note.
Uh-huh. With his phone number.
Yeah. With his phone number, of course. Yeah.
Of course.
Okay, so at that point, both of you were JW members just going to this event.
I was PMO, and I was only going to that event. And nothing else.
You have to say what PMO is.
Oh, yeah. PMO.
We just
physically
discussed
and mentally
that.
Out.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yep.
Yep. So remember that physically and mentally, meaning you had already been a JW member?
No, it means like you can go to their meetings and so forth. You're physically there, but mentally you're not.
Mentally, yeah. You already know it's BS.
Yeah. You're
yes.
At Disneyland.
Yes. Remember we discussed PMO in the episode that we recorded with Josh Morton,
no,
the author. You're, oh, okay. We discussed it because you can be PMO in any cult or religion to where you're physically still attending or part of the group. You look like you're part of the group, but you're mentally, you're awake and you realize that you no longer believe what they're teaching, but you have to figure out and logistically figure your way out of the situation.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. So Nathan was PMO and Amber was a member.
Right.
Okay.
So he was born and raised into it. So go ahead and give
Okay. So I'm from a family of, I have five brothers and three sisters. So there's nine total, same mom, same dad. And my dad was an elder for, I think, 30 something years.
Wow.
And around the time that I met her, I was occasionally going to one of the meetings here and there. And But that event for Jesus, which was the memorial, that I absolutely would attend once a year.
Yeah, that's an annual thing, and it's like the most important thing, and he would never miss one. So that's why he was there, because regularly he wasn't going to the meetings at that time.
Yep.
Okay.
Can I ask why? Why if you're PMO, and I'm only asking out of complete ignorance, if you're PMO and you don't believe in this, why do you go to that one event?
That one event is for Jesus.
Okay.
And nothing else.
But okay.
They do use the memorial as a recruiting effort as well. So they see old faces and, hey, we got to get you back. You know, we got to get you back to the meetings and so forth, or new faces, maybe somebody that was invited from work or something. And then they start love bombing them and try to get them to, you know, join their misery.
Okay. So would it be fair to say you were still holding on to a portion of the beliefs at that point in time?
Just Jesus. There's a few things that I do agree with the Jehovah's Witnesses on, mainly the pagan holidays, Trinity, and there may be a few others, but ultimately the whole religion is used and disguised, and it's a money machine is what it is.
Yep. So your faith in Jesus and God,
Jehovah
is intact, but you don't want to be part of JW's.
Well, I don't call him Jehovah. The Latin language, which I wish I could remove it from my tongue forever, but unfortunately, most languages are Latin based, and it's such a it came out of the Vatican basically, and it's, to me, it's a filthy language. It's a dirty language, and I really wish I never knew English. I'd rather speak Hebrew or Greek or Aramaic or Arabic. You know, those are considered, you know, the clean ones. I shouldn't go on about this, but.
Well, and the other thing is that the organization itself has created, like, Jehovah as God and the governing body are one in the same at this point. So if the governing body says it, it means it came from Jehovah.
Right.
And there is no differentiation, which is why I get a lot of like hate comments and things on social media, because people will call me an apostate and say like, well, you've turned against Jehovah, because they cannot separate the two. There is no separation between God and his organization.
Yep. And the whole Jehovah thing, I mean, it, you know, they added the J and the V, and it's really just YHWH, and nobody is certain how to pronounce it. So I always write it as YHWH, or I put God in all capital letters, but I really wish they wouldn't have distorted and switched around all of the name entirely and infected it with the Vatican's language.
That's interesting, because my ex-cult is the House of Yahweh.
Well, at least they're a little bit closer to the name.
That's a lot closer. Hey, didn't your grandparents say something?
Very similar teachings to Jehovah's, a lot of parallel teachings to the Jehovah's Witness teachings. So, yeah.
I think there's one of those here in Houston.
Probably. So that's kind of his background story. My background story is, on my dad's side, I am fifth generation. So if you've heard my little introductions that I do on TikTok, mm-hmm. I say that I'm fifth generation. I had somebody on Instagram, because I recently started my Instagram, and they said, you can't be fifth generation because the Jehovah's Witnesses started in the 40s or 50s. And I'm thinking, why would you even make a comment when you don't even know when they started to say that I can't be what I am? But they were international Bible students before they became the name Jehovah's Witnesses in 1931. And my great, great grandparents were in it before it was even named Jehovah's Witnesses. And they claimed to be of the anointed, which now that I'm awake, I'm like, what a foolish thing. But anyway, that's a whole other story. But on that side, I'm fifth generation. So my great, great grandparents, my great-grandparents, my grandparents, my parents, me, and then we were raising our children in it as well.
The operative word is were.
Were, yes.
Okay.
I even asked Nathan, because he was PMO, so I even asked him, I said, what if I had started to push the kids towards baptism? And he goes, well, then we really would have had a...
I was ready to step in at that point and say, all right, this is enough, and just force her to see everything. But I'm glad, I'm thankful that, that she came out on her own. It was mainly COVID that did it for a lot of Jehovah's Witnesses, or and Mormons and all kinds of religions, and it was a great thing.
That yeah. that we have heard. Yeah, that yes. we've heard.
Yes, our last guest was ex-Jehovah's Witnesses, and it started with COVID and not going to the Kingdom Hall meetings and basically not having that constant indoctrination. We're able to step right. back and start thinking more critically about some of the teachings and not having that constant echo chamber.
Which is why they constantly tell you to stay busy within the organization, because they know that break will do it.
Cool. Yep.
Okay. Nathan, your PMO, which I will never forget that acronym now.
Well, now I'm POMO. Physically out, mentally out.
Oh, okay. So you were P. Oh, that's right. You met her when you were PMO. Yeah. Now you're POMO. Oh my God.
Not homo, POMO.
Melly, we just want a glossary of
yes, we may need terminology. Okay. Cult terminology. All
right. Amber, when did you ever were you ever PMO, or you went from JW to POMO?
Yeah, I went, I made it just a big leap. So, you know, we've been in it, as far as I was concerned, we were in it our whole marriage. And if you know anything about my husband, which you don't obviously, but the fact that he kept it quiet from me for almost 20 years is like not him at all. Like, for me, it's like only God could keep him quiet about this, because he's very bold in his opinions and his thoughts, and he kept it quiet because that is the thing about the cult. Like, if he had told me, you know, 2 years into our marriage, this is BS, this is wrong, I can prove it, blah, 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 I would have said, you're an apostate. I'd have divorced him.
Even though you didn't have grounds.
Even though I didn't
They'll
have
still allow
scriptural
it.
Grounds. Yeah, they would have told... They would have told me to get away from him, no problem.
What are you... I'm sorry, what is an apostate?
Oh, an apostate, according to them, is anyone who speaks badly about the organization, aka Jehovah. And so when people will label you an apostate, they think you've turned against God, because they've like I said, because they've linked the two so closely that people can't separate it. And I even try to bring that out on social media and say, what have I said about God? Like, I've said stuff about the organization, but what have I said about God? And they never answer that question because they can't.
So would it be fair to say apostate is equivalent to critical thinking?
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
Which is it's a bad, dirty word in a cult.
Yeah. Yes. That much I know. Okay.
Yes. Or my other thought
don't
was...
Don't use your noggin.
Yes. You probably would have went and reported him to the elders first, too, to try to have them counsel him and talk him back on, get him back on the right path, right?
And I would have welcomed that. I mean,
right. But see, they can't actually do anything to him. So here's the thing about the JWs. Unless you are baptized into the religion, they don't have authority to do anything to you. And I was baptized at 16. He was never baptized in it. He tried, and then they said, we don't think you're ready. And and honestly, we wouldn't be together if he had gotten baptized, because he probably would have been disfellowshipped by the time we would have met, and that I wouldn't have been able to talk to him anyway.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay, so Nathan, you said you were born into it?
So I was born into it along with all my brothers and sisters. And I, at the age of 17, I decided this religion is nonsense. It's just for money. It's just a big money machine. And my father, he did some terrible things to children. He also committed adultery multiple times. And when he was what they call an elders meeting in these little rooms, so he had to go before, as an elder, go before several other elders. And he, when he came out of the room, I thought, okay, he's going to be banned from the congregation for what he's done. I mean, the adultery is one thing, but the other thing that he did was just wicked. And so when he walks out, I'm thinking he's going to be disfellowshipped, banned, whatever you want to call it. And the police must be waiting right outside the door. Surely they call the police. He was told that he's just not allowed to say prayers at the meetings anymore. And that was it. He got a slap on the wrist and no police, no nothing. So at that point, I'm like, this is stupid.
This is not of God.
This is not biblical at all. And they basically had, you know, with me, they raised the monster because we were constantly told, you know, study this, study that, study this. And we're constantly in the Bible. So now they're getting it back fourfold off my tongue because I know the Bible so well now because I was drilled in it. You have to be drilled in it when your father's an elder because you don't want to embarrass them. You know, you want to impress everybody like, oh, yeah, it's just dad.
And in the 70s and 80s, they prided themselves on being knowledgeable in the Bible. They do not do that now because they've fallen so far and their doctrine has changed so much that, I mean, I'm literally like today, I was literally fighting with people in the comments because they're telling me that the things that I'm saying are not true. And I'm like, this is the problem, though, yeah. Is that you don't even know what you believe because it changes all the time. So you're saying I was a JW or I am a JW and I don't believe this. And I'm telling you that an elder told this to me who's been in it for decades. And this is the problem. You don't know what you believe because it's not biblically based anyway.
Yep. It's amazing. It's an amazing change in culture that I've seen. Like if somebody wanted me to debate one of the higher ups from the 60s, 70s, and 80s, I'd be a little nervous. But now it's like anybody from 1990 onward, bring it on. Like, let's do it. Because
you're welcome it, right?
Yeah, it's dumbed down so much. And the Jehovah's Witness response nowadays, it's not to grab your Bible and show people. It is go to JW.org. Go to JW.org. They have their new idolatry, which is JW.org. They wear the pins like a cross now. It's ridiculous. And they don't see it. It's right in front of them.
Yeah, they've become televangelists as well, which they vilified those for in the 80s and 90s for years. But the reason they push JW.org, a big part of that is because there are so many quote unquote apostate websites that they had to drill it into us. JW.org, not Jehovah's Witnesses.org, not JW.com, not any of these other things, because they know if you make a slip, then you'll find yourself on an apostate website and you could see something that'll stumble your faith. That's the narrative they use. And so when I started waking up, I literally was like freaking out because I was like, am I being stumbled? Is this what I was warned about? You know, like that's how I felt because you feel like this is the truth. And that's the other thing. And I'm sure you've heard other JWs say that, like we refer to it as the truth. So, you know, Melody came into the truth. Melanie fell away from the truth. You know, it's like, these are the terms that we
word
use.
Association.
Yeah. And so it's just ingrained. So, I mean, how could you leave the truth, you know, it's the truth. And so when they repeat that narrative over and over again, you can't help but be ingrained with it and believe it. And that's the other thing. So there's a few acronyms. So there's PME, which is physically in, mentally in. You are a good, devout JW. That was me for a long time. then there's PMO, which is physically and mentally out. You're awake, but you don't want to risk losing your family, friends. And then there's POMO, which is physically out, mentally out. It's all BS. I don't go anymore. But there's another one that a lot of people don't talk about, which is POMI, which is physically out, mentally in. And I get those people that fight with me in the comments. They're like, you're lying. I grew up JW, and they're still defending it. And they don't even live it. And they're out of it because they can't. They don't want to deal with all the meetings and everything else, but they're still mentally in it. And those people, I feel so bad for those people.
You're basically telling people, hey, guess what? Your whole life all this stuff for however old they are, how long they've been in it, 40, 50, 70, 80 years. It's all a lie. And they nobody wants to hear that.
I know.
Like they just wasted 80 years of their life, like her grandparents.
Yeah. My grandma dropped out of school at 14 because the end was coming any minute.
And she's still waiting.
And now she's still waiting. And I just talked to her the other day and she was talking about the new changes. Like what a blessing from Jehovah. They cannot see it.
It's awful. Mm. It's awful to watch.
Yeah.
Oh, I would imagine now that you're POMO, right? You're out.
Yep.
I got to keep my acronym straight. Yeah. Looking on the inside, I'm not a cult survivor. I'm a podcast host, and that's why I asked Melody to join me, and because she knows more about this stuff than I do, and that's why I don't know all these acronyms. But I am one of those who does look at cults on the outside and can see the pandemonium that's going on. And to what you talked about what your father did, you didn't say what it was, but I can assume. This is the problem that I have with, here we go, Melody, law enforcement. Why don't they do something about this?
I got this.
Oh, go for it. I want to hear this.
Okay. So all the kingdom halls around the world, that's where, you know, the average Jehovah's Witness will report to these kingdom halls, right? And the thing is, they will let... I'm sorry, I got distracted. If they were to do something about if they were to call the police on every single man or woman that inappropriately did something to a child, and they would have nobody to run their franchises, because that's what kingdom halls are. They're all individual franchises, and they're run for free by these men. And so if they would have lost so many guys. I mean, they would have all went to prison. There would have been nobody there to, you know, quote unquote, shepherd the flock. So that was a big problem for them. So everything was hush hush. You don't want to bring shame on Jehovah's name, which they already do themselves very easily. And that's the biggest problem, is they would have nobody to run the individual franchises. So they just sweep it under the rug and use the Constitution to protect the pedophiles.
You know that. I know that. Melody knows that. Why can't somebody from the outside, like anybody hearing this podcast, why can't a district attorney and say, if it's that bad, because from what you just said, it sounds like it's rampant in JW, child abuse, or... Right?
So they hide under freedom of religion, obviously. That's part of it. But the other part of it is... So they've been in court, and the court system told them, you need to turn over all, like, your list of abusers. Because we know you have a list, because you asked your congregations to send you the list, and they came in these little blue envelopes. So at headquarters, they knew every blue envelope, that's a pedophile list. And so they know that. They have it. They don't have it electronically, I don't believe, because they don't want anybody hacking their system. But the court system said, turn this over or else we're going to fine you $4,000 a day. And they chose to pay the fine, and they ended up paying $2 million before the settlement was reached, and they never released it.
They're paying out millions of dollars in settlements.
Yeah.
Like the Catholic Church is now.
Yeah. But the Catholic Church was a bit better than the Jehovah's Witnesses were, because the Catholic Church quickly recognized and realized there was a problem and gave people an opportunity to come forward and paid them, you know, gave them restitution. But the Jehovah's Witness, they fight every single case.
They won't admit they have a problem. Yep. So they go in front of the members, because this was one of the last assemblies before COVID. We went to an international convention in our state, and they had this whole like watchtower thing. And I remember thinking, what is this going on? Because of course I was still like in it. So I had no idea.
People.
I was P me. I was P-me, in it. P-me, yeah.
Right. Okay.
I'm going to give you a little flow chart. And so I was still in it mentally. And I remember thinking, why are they talking about this? Because they were talking about, you know, if there's any issues of child abuse, like, you are more than welcome to report it to the police. So they never said you need to report it to the police. They said, you're welcome. You may report it. Like, we're allowing you to report it. And they said that because all of these court cases, these people came forward and said, well, we were told not to report it. We were told if we report it, we'll bring reproach on Jehovah's name. They were also threatened with being disfellowshipped due to slander, because as a child, so they have a two witness rule in place. And that's how they get away with not reporting like the child abuse as well. So they use the scripture that says you have to have two witnesses to like accuse somebody of a crime. So your little daughter goes up and says, brother so-and-so touched me inappropriately. And they go, oh, well, little Susie, is there a witness? Because, you know, most child abusers do it with an audience.
Yeah.
And they go, no. And they go, well, then we have to leave it in Jehovah's hands. Also, if you say anything, it's slander.
So once again, I'm going to say, because we've said it on our podcast many times, that what it boils down to, as in most cults, is that the reputation of the organization is more important than the most innocent members of the group. And that's when you know there's a problem.
Yeah. They also put out a narrative of, well, children falsely report, like children lie, so, you know, we can't just take the word of a child,
because a four-year-old knows about sex, apparently. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, they've had four-year-olds report it, and what does a four-year-old have to lie about? Why would they lie? You know, it's just ridiculous.
And some of these children were come up with that,
right? Exactly. That's
unless they've been exposed to something, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. And it's some of these kids were passed in between congregation elders. It was like they were sharing it. It was awful. It's such a wicked, that place is such a wicked,
they call their headquarters Bethel, which means house of God. And it's a wicked place. And that's the thing is like, I'm the first one to say, I'm not saying the Jehovah's Witnesses are the only ones with a problem. They are not. This is prevalent. But when you have policies in place to continue to hide it, that's a real problem. When you care about your image more, obviously, but when you don't admit you have a problem, then you don't make an effort to fix anything either.
Well, and then what happens?
Guard down.
Yes. And then also what happens is that you create an epidemic, and the fact that you are now attracting pedophiles into your organization, because pedophiles are like, ooh, look at this place is going to protect me. They're not going to throw me to the authorities. They're going to protect me under their wings. So why not go join this group? Because I can do these awful things that I want to do, and they're going to let me hide behind their organization. So then it creates a cycle. That creates a cycle then, because then you end up with more and more of those type of people joining the organization. It creates an awful cycle.
Where do they find people?
calm down.
Where do they? Tell me.
These idiots. So they started this thing, I don't know when, I think maybe in the 70s, called prison witnessing.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where a lot of the problem came from. There were people in prison for different forms of child abuse or sex crimes. And so it's like, oh, as soon as I'm getting out of this jail or prison or whatever, I'm going to join this religion because I can just rape all the children I want. And that's the problem. Prison witnessing, you know, it's just, you see somebody has a sex crime. I mean, sure. You want to go to God, go to God, and good for you. But you're not coming to my house, you know?
But there's no warning. We're not warned of who's coming in, because he comes in a suit.
But they should be, the Watchtower Society of Pennsylvania should be held responsible for this prison witnessing bullshit. It's really amazing that they would, some of these guys were in there for actual rape of a child. And they give them all this leverage and free roaming in these congregations to do what they want. So what do they think is going to happen?
So you you know that JW knows that these guys coming in from prison are convicted pedophiles.
Yes, absolutely. There's even one in my congregation growing up that was running from the authorities in England. And the Jehovah's Witnesses aided and abetted him to South Florida and help him get settled down in a home with a job and into the congregation, where he continued to do his raping. So they brought him right into Babylon. Just crazy.
And because we're told it's the true religion, we don't think about these kinds of things happening. Like, I remember going to conventions and I would just leave my purse and I'd walk away, you know, like you just leave your purse because it's a true religion. We're all true Christians here. You know, nobody's going to steal. Nobody's going to hurt you. Nobody's going to do anything. And that's the problem. When you claim it's the true religion, everybody lets their guard down. And this is why there is such a problem in organized religion as a whole, because people feel like, well, we're here because of God. So they let their guard down. And that's a very dangerous thing across the board. No matter what religion you're in, I don't trust anyone with my children.
Yep.
Okay. So what about the parents of these children that are being abused?
Weak women is what it is. My mother's one of them.
Brainwashed
and weak. And they also don't want to lose their status in the congregation, because my dad was an elder. So that gave my mom some clout and it gave my dad clout. So if my dad were to be removed as an elder, like no longer an elder, they take a step down on the ladder now. And once you do that, the culture changes completely and everybody just kind of, like whispering behind your back, and it'll never be the same ever. So they decided to pick their clout over innocent children.
For the average person, because it's an us versus them mentality, the everything outside of the Jehovah's Witness organization is worldly. And not in the well-traveled way, but you're worldly. It's a negative thing. It's a bad thing. We can't trust those people. I don't know if you've ever seen the Watchtower pictures. It's like all the JWs are happy and everything else is on fire and destruction and everything. I mean, we're born scared. And so the idea that you would go to the police over going to the elders first, especially if it's somebody else within the congregation, you know, you feel like, well, we need to handle it within the congregation. And then the elders tell you, like they're told, well, we'll call the legal department at headquarters. And so we feel like that is reporting it to the authorities, is going to the elders and leaving it, you know, in their hands. And when they tell us like, well, there's nothing we can do, we don't even think about going to the authorities. And for those that do, then you get the narrative of you're bringing reproach on Jehovah's name. You may get disfellowship for slander, you know, whatever.
Okay. Also, not all of the Jehovah's Witnesses are bad people. Some of them are very genuine people and they don't realize they're being drowned. But to give you an example, there was an elder in my congregation that found out what my father was doing. And he got witness statements and what else did he get? I forgot. He got witness statements and he just gathered a bunch of evidence on his own time. And this brother, he ran a huge company. So with his own time, he gathered all this evidence against my father. And then one day my dad found out about this evidence. I mean, my dad was scared he was going to go to prison. I'm certain of it. So he found out about this evidence and he forced my brother to go into the room where this filing cabinet was, where they kept all this paperwork, and to sneak my dad's file out. And then there's like a door going outside right out of that room. And my brother opened the door, handed it off to my dad. And my dad took it home and burned it. And so nothing happened. And at the next elders meeting, there was a fist fight. And now I know why there was a fist fight. But so my dad would have gotten what he rightfully deserved had that evidence, you know, not ever been touched. And it, what a, I mean, that's so stupid. My dad gave my brother the key and everything. And hats off to my brother, because my dad was also physically abusive, very bad. I mean, just he would go ape shit on us. And so it was under that threat that if he didn't do this for him, that was, right. This was going to happen to him. More fear, fear, fear.
So I'm like, go ahead, Andrew.
No, Melody, go.
I was going to say that I'm going to assume then, Nathan, that is part of the reason that I think age 17 is when you became PMO, correct?
Yes.
And I'm going to assume that you had seen too much and knew too much at that point and experienced too much.
Yes.
To be able to say this is the truth anymore.
Right. And it wasn't just my dad. I learned about all these brothers. And other congregations all around. What's so funny?
I'm just thinking about how your dad would tell people's business, and that was like not.
Oh yeah, that's a different thing. But
okay.
Yeah, I learned about, and I'm like, what the F is going on here? Why is nobody doing anything about this? And it's like, get them out of the congregation, you know, like clean it up. But the thing is, it's more about power and clout. So while all this is happening, here they go disfellowshipping a 17-year-old for slipping up and having sex, you know, with another teenager.
Yeah.
You know, and they strut their shit up on the stage, and so-and-so has been disfellowshipped. And everybody knows why when you're a teenager. And it's just like, what about these?
Yeah.
You know, like, give me a break. So dumb.
No. And see, and I never saw any of that, which is why I was so in it. Plus my whole family's in it. So like, you know, that's the thing. The Jehovah's Witnesses are kind of becoming the Amish. They're breeding their own members. They're not really recruiting anybody. I don't know if you've ever seen them where you guys live. They're doing that cart witnessing stuff now where they just stand there like with an A-frame cart with literature and they just chat to each other. They're not. There, but yet the stories in the publications and on JW.org are like, oh, the cart witnessings do, like had some random person come up and like, ladies, tell me when Armageddon's coming, or like, tell, you know, I'm going to read this stuff to my kid, even though I don't even have one yet. Like they make up these stories like it's doing something.
Yeah, Watchtower Society is notorious for making up bullshit stories. Like so-and-so in Pennsylvania said this and that, like, it's just nonsense.
They had a 12-year-old saying due diligence. I was like, yeah, I'm so sure.
She just did a video on, you're supposed to be kind to your rapist. You got to be nice to your rapist.
Oh, yeah. We've heard that. We've heard that before in other JW interviews we've done. Yes. That's
amazing. Yes,
you are the one who needs to apologize as the victim. Yep. You need to apologize. Yes. Yeah.
And also if you don't fight back, that's sexual immorality.
Yeah. Then you ask for it.
So does you may not know. I don't know if you know the answer to it. The JW still go door to door, because back in the 80s, I remember when I was married and I bringing up a family and had a house, every Sunday they were knocking on the door.
Yeah.
And I don't see them anymore.
Yeah.
Like at least where I live.
Well, you Andrew, be like real you did answer your door with a snake on your neck.
So oh, they I did. Yeah.
They aren't coming to your door anymore.
Yeah. But I don't live there. I don't have the snake anymore, but I don't live in that house. One Sunday I got tired of them coming to the door, and I had a 6-foot boa constrictor. So I answered the door with it and wrapped it around my neck, and they never came back. So they ran so fast.
You were on a blacklist. You had the serpent on your neck, literally.
I did.
Yeah. And that's the ironic thing about all this is I was born and raised in the reptile business.
Okay.
Yeah. That's funny.
Come back to your house.
Yeah.
You want to come
back? No problem.
It was a red-tailed Colombian boa, and I was just done. It was like every Sunday, but it was often enough that I was like, enough of this. And one Sunday, I just took her out of the tank, and I just sat and waited and waited, and sure enough, they knocked on the door, and I answered the door, and they looked, they saw me, and I don't think 3 seconds had passed before they turned tail and they were just gone.
But see, that also feeds into the narrative of like an us versus them thing, because they go, look at these worldly people. They're scary. They have reptiles, like whatever, you know, like it's always, or if it, and I even put out a video of like, if these people come to your door, do not be cruel to them. Do not be mean to them. Do not scream at them, especially the children, because they're not there because they want to be. They're there because they have to be. And because I saw so many comments of like, they'll never come back after I did what I did. And I'm like, don't do anything. They don't want to be there. And that's the thing is like, so they're doing the cart witnessing now because they want you to stay busy in it, but they know people hate going door to door, and nobody's being converted now. Now, you used to be back in the day. So my grandparents on my mom's side came into it in the late 60s, which I just had an epiphany about that, because they were still pushing that, you know, end of the world is coming in 1975. And I think that's what actually brought those grandparents in. And so when you would go door to door and you would tell people like the end is coming, you better be on the right side, you know, whatever. They would come in because there was no Google. But now you go to somebody's house and you preach this message, the first thing somebody's doing when they close the door is Googling it. Yep. And all the child abuse stuff comes up and all the XJW stuff comes up. And so they go, okay, we're good. We're out, you know? And so they're not recruiting people. They claim they are, but they're really not. Nobody's.
They're trying to.
Yeah, they're trying to, but nobody's really coming in because nobody's actually preaching either.
They don't know how.
They don't know how. But that's the other thing is like they, you know, they're doing all of this stuff, but they don't actually care about people. They go, well, we were told to go and preach. But they don't care, because if they were told tomorrow to stop, they wouldn't be like, well, no, God, you know, like Jesus told us to pray. They don't care. They're doing it because men told them to.
And their numbers are so bad. I'm estimating they lost close to 1 million people over COVID. And so now they're coming up with real creative ways to make it easier for them to lie about their numbers. Like before, like when I was growing up, you had to fill out these time cards, and it would like, you know, how many hours did you place any magazines? Did you place any books? Did you receive any money or donations? And you had to fill all this thing out. And then that's, they would keep track of things that way. But now you just go on their website and say, click. Yep. I preached. You don't need to tell them how many hours or nothing. So it's so easy for them to lie about their numbers now.
Yeah. There's an XJW content creator, and he says, numbers don't lie, but you can lie with numbers. And that's the whole thing. So they started doing that a while ago too. So we used to have meetings three nights a week. So we'd have the Tuesday night meeting, which was 2 hours. We'd have the book study on Thursday, at least this was my schedule, on Thursday, which was an hour. And that was usually at somebody's house. And then you had the Sunday meeting, which was 2 hours. And then you'd usually have service on Saturday. So, I mean, it was busy, busy, busy. And then now, and you'd have to write all of that stuff down and the hours and everything. And so then they said, you know what? We're giving up the book study. We're going to give you guys a free night. We're going to not oppress you as much. What a blessing from Jehovah. So they get rid of the book study, and then they go, but we want you to do your family worship on that night.
So basically, so really, do the book study at home.
Right. So you do the book study at home. Also, you can mark your family worship as a Bible study. So now every single person in your family can mark it as a...
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Everybody in your family can mark it as a Bible study if they are a publisher.
And that was years ago, pre-COVID.
That was years ago, pre-COVID. And so they could mark it. So our family of four, which our kids were not unbaptized publishers, we didn't go that route. But us too, if we had a family study in our home, which could just be a simple watch a Sophia Caleb cartoon video from JW.org, we would each mark that we had a Bible study. So they counted two Bible studies and nobody had any.
And it's right in their faces and they don't see it. It kills me.
Okay. So while you mentioned Google. And so I Googled approximately how many JWs are there worldwide? And the answer is, as of 2023, there are approximately 8.6 million active However, the peak number is higher. They say that in 2023, I guess this is the event where you guys met was the annual memorial of Christ's death.
Yes.
There were 20 million attendants.
Now I can explain that. Okay, so that was that. It's so easy for you to attend now. So it's on Zoom. You just log in on Zoom. Yeah, so okay. You know, it's just so stupid. And I'm going to guess that their real population of Jehovah's Witnesses is probably 7.5 to 775 million, somewhere around there. That because the amount of kingdom halls that they're selling and the real estate that they're selling left and right, they're getting desperate. Mm-hmm. Down with them, I say.
So do you see an end in sight this century, maybe?
Definitely. I always say,
wow,
get out of her, my people. Because even the Bible says, Babylon the Great has fallen. She has fallen. And that is world religion. That is world religion. So something major is going to happen. I don't know what it's going to be. And the Bible doesn't really say exactly what it is, but it's all religion. It's going to come to a crash, which is going to be amazing to watch. And I'm so curious how it's going to happen, but I just leave that in God's hands.
Well, and here's why the JW, like, I don't know about other religions because I don't know, you know, like how Mormons run or anything like that. But the Jehovah's Witnesses, they're going to continue. They're doing everything they can, right? So men can have beards now. Women can wear pants to the kingdom
hall
now. They're
giving them what they want.
Right. You only have to check a box to say that you went out in service or you participated in some part of the preaching work. That like everything is getting a lot easier because what's happening is the diehard JWs that like my grandparents' age, they're in their 80s now. They're dying off.
The writing's on the wall.
The generation exactly. That it doesn't matter what you say. And my grandparents lived through the 1975 end of the world that didn't actually happen. And they stayed in because they go, well, it's okay. Like they got new light and whatever. That generation is dying off. The generation that didn't think to question that like will do whatever that would probably end up drinking the Kool-Aid essentially. They are dying off. The next generation, they're starting to question the generation after that. And then my generation. Yeah.
Well, and then you've got the thing too, with that generation you're talking about, they believe they would never have to die a physical death. That's what they were taught. Correct. So I'm sure there are some people in that generation that are looking at it and telling their children, I've been waiting my whole world for the end to come and it's never come. And now I'm at the point where, you know, I'm at the end of my life. And they're probably expressing some doubt. I would hope there's at least a portion expressing some doubt to their own children and then creating hopefully a ripple of doubt throughout the next generations coming up.
Yeah. So I just spoke to my grandparents the other day and I mean, they're still like the end is coming any second. Like they're still diehard in it. And they just put out a narrative like, if, you know, like we would say good answer if you gave the answer that you're willing to stay in this till the end of this system or until the end of your life, we say good answer if that's what you think.
The part of all this that pisses me off the most, because I love to help people. And in 1974-ish, Jehovah's Witnesses were selling all of their stuff, like selling their homes, boats, cars, whatever, and donating the money to the Watchtower Society as if they needed it. And it's just now that 75 came and went, these brothers and sisters of these congregations were saying, we need help. We have nothing now. And the Watchtower Society ignored the letters from the congregations, the letters from people. They just effing ignored them because they're low life trash.
And then when those people left, because they were like, you falsely predicted the end of the world, like you guys are false prophets, then they said, that's the evil class.
Oh, and they made up a lie about these people. Yeah, they're apostates. And they said, in a talk at conventions, they would say, these people that sold all their belongings, that's on them because they wanted to go live a life of debauchery before the end came. Yeah. sick efforts.
Okay, so I'm just keeping an eye on the clock. We got a few minutes left. Where are you two today? Because so you're POMO, right?
Right.
Right. Okay. At least I got it right. You're POMO, but you, and that was because of COVID, but you still, are you still Christians?
Yes.
Yes.
More so than ever.
Yeah.
Okay. How do you practice your faith?
Practice it less. It's an odd thing to describe, but those that know, they know. I don't know how else to say it, but once, so I never got baptized as one of Jehovah's Witnesses. Most Jehovah's Witnesses don't know that they, when they get baptized as Jehovah's Witness, they get a curse because they ask you two sets of questions. She knows what they are. The first set is correct, but then the second set, which is,
do you understand that by getting baptized that you're identifying yourself as one of Jehovah's Witnesses as part of the Jehovah's Witness organization, something like that?
That's the curse right there. And there was, that's not in the Bible, obviously, anywhere. And it's, I just recently got baptized with her in someone's pool, and everything changed for me in my life and in hers. I mean, the most amazing stuff started happening. And some terrible things stopped happening, and we are so active. And I mean, I'm nicely trying to get people out of religion just as best I can. Her, on the other hand,
I'm a little bold in it.
Very like straightforward, a little bit harsh, but whatever. I mean, her job is to stop people from going in.
So you, okay, so you are Christians, but you don't go to a brick and mortar building on Sundays. No.
No
okay.
way.
That's exactly what, that's the thing where
so
I was
no,
going.
So you no don't more listen. Organized religion.
Correct.
Right.
And religion, that word is non-existent in the actual Bible. That was translated from the word faith.
Or worship,
right. And so the thing is a lot of Jehovah's Witnesses may not understand or realize this, or anybody that's part of religion. The Israelites of Bible times, when they went to worship, they would go to temple, right? But when Jesus came, that was all put to an end. And Jesus said, now your body is your temple. That's where it is. You don't have to report to a brick and mortar. The other thing too is, and I'm just plugging this for everybody out there. They wanted to build a house for God. And God said, you know, what kind of house will you build for me? And where will my resting place be? Knowing that the heavens are my throne and the earth is my footstool, you know? So that's what he's trying to say. No, you don't need a house. You don't need brick and mortar. You don't need to report. It's more on a community level, you know, right, where the same way it was done in Bible times. It was like on a community level. Just get out of Babylon, get out of religion.
And that's the people, I get those people and they go, well, what church are you part of now? You know, because they can't believe that you can do it on your own with God's word. And so they act like I'm like church hopping or religion hopping. And that's the thing. I outsourced my faith for 37 years. I blindly believed these men when they told me this was God or this was from God. And I will never make that mistake again.
Get out.
Go Jesus.
Yep.
Okay. Wow. I'm literally blown away by this. This is
welcome to our world.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Melody, you have any questions? Then I'm gonna throw it back to them.
I don't think I do have any questions.
All right. So Amber, Nathan, to our audience, and there are members that are ex-members, or we do think that there are...
PMO's listening.
Thank you. Thank you.
We're trying, Andrew.
I was trying to think of the word. People who are physically in, but they're not out. And what advice could you offer them?
Physically in, but not mentally out?
That they're
or still- mentally out.
they're still stuck in it. I would say for those people that I understand what you're going through as far as like risking leaving your family, make sure that you have some sort of outside support system that's not JW, because you will lose the JWs. If you have family that loves you more than the organization, you are so blessed. If you don't, make sure you have a sense of community before you make that step. Don't assume that your family will have your back. And if that means that you have to stay in for years, I'm sorry, but make sure that you're prepared to really walk away. And don't believe, the biggest thing I can say, do not believe that leaving the organization means that you have left God.
It's good. You're even closer than ever now. Yeah. Just get out. There's no such thing as a true religion. They've come up with a phrase. We were talking about word association earlier. They would say false religion. We're the true religion. Everybody else is false religion. There is no true religion. Jesus is it. It was made so easy for us. Jesus is it. And I can't explain. I know if somebody is the current Jehovah's Witness listen to this, they'll think, boy, this is such worldly apostate talk, you know, like, but I'm telling you, I don't know how to say it. When you're given like a talent, or you're given like a message, and it sounds so funny to Jehovah's Witnesses or anybody listening out there, but it'll stop you dead in your tracks. And it's like you're tuning in, trying to tune in on a radio or something. But he literally, even in the Bible, he says, whatever I whisper in your ear, shout it from the rooftops.
And that's what we're doing.
It hits you like a ton of bricks.
Okay, Amber, where can we find you on TikTok or any social media?
So I'm on TikTok at cult.life.escaped, and I'm on Instagram as the same thing.
All right, Melody, we'll put that in the show notes.
And Nathan, too.
But I'm the helpful XJW.
Yes,
I got it
on
right.
On TikTok,
the helpful EXJW.
Excellent. Very good. I'm speechless. This was just, and you have just, we'll close it out with this. You're working on a podcast, correct?
Yeah, we're by the same name.
Fine tuning the equipment as we speak.
Okay.
Which name?
It'll be Cult Life Escaped as well. And we plan to do is speak about our experiences and still bring awareness to the Jehovah's Witness cult abuses. But we also want to give a voice to other cult survivors as well. Because when you leave, you're shunned, you're silenced.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sucks.
Yes.
Well, we welcome you to the podcast community of cults.
There you go.
Thank you.
I will just add one last thing that, and I'm sure you guys will appreciate this, because I was excommunicated from the House of Yahweh, my cult, and they actually, yes, exactly. They sent me this whole letter, basically passive aggressive letter about my excommunication. Yep. And for a while I felt like I had lost my faith. And and when I regained and decided, you know, they took everything else from me, and they're not going to take that too. So I'm they're not going to steal that from me too. So I don't have to go to a church in order to have my faith. I'm going to have my faith. They don't have the right to take that from me.
Yep.
So figured you guys, coming where you've come from, you would appreciate that.
Yep.
Definitely. Yeah.
So we thank you so much for coming on the show, sharing your stories and your experiences with us and all of our audience. And we wish you all the best in starting your own podcast as well.
Truly.
Glad to be here.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you so much for sharing your story.
Yep, you're welcome. No problem at all.
Thank you so much.
And once again, we want to thank Nathan and Amber for coming on the show and sharing their story. But what an amazing episode. I mean, I love the fact that they didn't necessarily come out at the same time, and that he kept it secret kind of from her that he was mentally out for all those years. And she didn't find it out until she started mentally waking up. And then he's like, yeah, I've already been there for a while.
Yeah, that one confused me, and I meant to ask, how do you hide something? I think it was, 15 years or something?
Yeah, I thought 20.
How do you hide that? Yeah, I don't know how you hide that, but I also did not see that episode coming, meaning when, you know, when we sit down to do our interviews with people, yep. I'm expecting a story from beginning to end, you know, and how they got in, how they got out, how they transitioned, how they're deprogramming, deconstructing. This one was just right from the get-go when he talked about his dad and what he did. And, you know, that just set me off because I had to ask. And he gave an excellent explanation. And yet I still question, you know, why can't a district attorney do something about it? But we're not going to have that conversation now. But I really, really, really enjoyed that conversation with them. It was fantastic.
Yes, me too. And I will add, I jotted down a couple of notes during the interview there. And the tactic she was talking about the... Now they instead, it sounds like almost instead of the door-to-door ministry, they're doing these cart ministries where they have a cart set up somewhere on the side of the street or a street corner or something. And that is, and she said it's just to keep people busy. That is a cult tactic, to keep people busy so they don't have time to think. They don't have time to research. They don't have time to question what they're doing. They're just so busy going through the motions and doing the steps that they're being good, obedient cult members and doing their duty as a JW and just continuing to do what they've always done. And the other thing I wanted to touch on was the inflated numbers of, like, they say that the inflated numbers of that, because my cult has done the same thing. They will use, like, let's say their Facebook following as a representation of the number of members that they have. But if you go look, most of those accounts are fake accounts that they're making themselves to inflate their own numbers to make it look like there's a lot more people involved in the organization than that really is. You can tell when it's a fake account, right? When there's no profile picture at all, for one. But then when you go on the account and there's literally nothing there except a profile picture, those are fake accounts.
Yeah. When I said I use Google, I use Perplexity, which is an AI, and but Perplexity goes out on the internet and looks up on other websites. So I would imagine those numbers were inflated because JW probably is doing digital inflation on the internet. From what Nathan was talking, he predicted that this cult disorganized, it's going to come down by the end of the century.
We'll see.
And I've asked that question to others, and they said no. Yeah. You know? So anyway, and I learned all my new acronyms. You know, my PMOs, my POMOs, my
Yes. And then and the audience doesn't know this because they couldn't see, but we had about 20 to 30 minutes of technical issues before we actually began the interview, and they were trying to record separately on their own microphones, and it was actually kind of cute because they had to sit next to each other, decided they had to share a screen, and I think it actually made for
I liked it better. Yeah.
I did too. And we ended up not recording video just because of all the technical issues we were already having. We didn't want to add one more on top of it, but excellent interview, and it was actually really fun to do a couple's interview where you can tell that they're probably more connected now than they've ever been because they're finally on the same page, spiritually speaking, which is, it was just nice to see that. And you could see that come through in their interview.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Good for them.
Yes.
Good for them.
And yes. 100%. And once again, thank you so much to Amber and Nathan for coming on the show and sharing their story. And thank you to all of you for tuning into Cultimatum. As always, your support is greatly appreciated. And if you enjoyed today's episode, we would appreciate it if you could take a moment to rate and review our podcast on platforms such as Apple and Spotify. And please don't forget to follow, share, and keep listening to all of our latest episodes.
You can also connect with us by joining our Facebook group, Cultimatum Podcast, where we dive deeper into these important topics.
And you can find us on additional social media platforms, including Instagram, Pinterest, YouTube, and Threads.
If you have a personal experience with cults or human trafficking that you'd like to share, reach out to us at cultimatumpodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.
And if you are an ex-cult member in need of any additional support, you can consider joining the Cult Escape and Recovery Group on Facebook.
You can also check me out. You can also check me out on my other podcast, the Anonymous Andrew Modern Dating Podcast, for more content. And if you'd like to help us with the cost of maintaining this podcast, you can support us to buy us a cup of coffee in our show notes. So there's a little link in our show notes. You click on it. It'll take you to buy a cup of coffee link. And you could donate $5 or $10 to our podcast, which helps with our costs. Every bit helps in our mission to spread the awareness about cults and human trafficking.
Yep, and that link is right above the summary of any episode now, so you can find that easily just by clicking on the summary. And as always, stay safe, stay informed, and remember, you are not alone.